And we're live. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Dirt here, and we have no Brian tonight. And quick update on Brian is, well, he's not here. That's all the information. Hopefully he has not been abducted by the Scientologists, but we just really have no idea where he's MIA.
Tom so Ace. Tom Ace, if you're listening, please give us back Brian.
He probably has him in one of those clamshell collector's cases in his basement.
Quite possible.
So I am here with Andrew. And
I'm here.
You're the one who's here.
Yes.
So you and I are going to hijack the show here for a while. Maybe Brian will show up. Maybe he won't. We'll just have to wait and see. But
okay. You
did have a couple things that you wanted to talk about tonight. And so why don't you start off with that new Four Horsemen line you wanted to discuss?
So let's talk Mythic Legions. I branched on them last week, but yesterday at, it was 8 p.m. my time, they closed their Kickstarter, and with a record-breaking $934,000 pledged for their action figures, the second series of their new action figures, the Mythic Legions. It was a record drive. That's so close to $1 million. It's not even funny. They released so many action figures that they're going to actually not ship until April of next year. it's insane, though. I mean, you got to think about it. This company is selling action figures a year ahead of time, and they're still making $934,000 doing so.
Talk a little bit about these figures. Like, what are they?
They're fantasy figures. Mythic Legions is a fantasy story that I'm sure one of the Four Horsemen came up with, or all of them did, and it includes elves, goblins, vampires, minotaurs, knights. It just includes a lot of different styles of fantasy, stuff that He-Man and Master Universe definitely fits in with. And the figures are the same scale as Masters of the Universe. As the classics, correct. Yes, as the classics. They had Skeleton Warriors that I bought right off the bat in the first Kickstarter a couple years ago because they would match so well with Skeletor. I mean, you know, it was an obvious, like, hey, you know what? I need some Skeleton Warriors. The Four Horsemen made my Skeletor, and they made these Skeleton Warriors. Why not put them together, right? So, but ironically, it's not a part of the Masters mythos. They're their own thing completely. But I don't know. All I can say is they just finished up their Kickstarter. I want to say congratulations to the Four Horsemen if you listen to this, you know, just in case. You guys did great. I myself spent more than I'd be comfortable saying online. And you know what else? That's not even the thing. That's only from the initial thing. They're going to do a pre-sale right before the figures hit the warehouse next year when they're about to come out, because they'll have more manufactured than they've ordered right now. And with those extras, they're going to sell those in 5 minutes, and it's going to be like another unbelievable amount. So, I mean, seriously, congratulations. Clap for them, basically, because the Four Horsemen, they kick butt. They totally kick butt. They released weapons packs in these, and these weapons packs are also compatible with Masters. I mean, they come with medieval style swords, elven swords, barbarian swords. I mean, bows and arrows, shields, hammers, scimitars. It's crazy. Tridents, flails. But yeah, it's just one of their lines that they've been doing for about 2 years now, and I'm just a big fan, just a really, really big fan.
All right, so we're taking a look at some of these here on the video feed.
Yeah, okay. And, yes.
Looking at some of the stretch goals and some of the figures that they added. Now, looking through these, though, did any of them pop out to you as, oh, I recognize those bits from Masters of the Universe, or does it look like they're pretty much all brand new stuff?
It's all brand new stuff. Nothing's used for the Masters line. It's all original. It's their brainchild. I mean, you really can't copyright fantasy stuff. I mean, you know, like you can't copyright elves and dwarves and stuff,
right,
like that.
Right.
So it's their own original stuff. But like, Like that, when you go up a little bit, that barbarian warrior builder right there, it's a female one. That just screams at me like we need something like that. I mean, in the Master's Mythos already, there is an under representation for female warriors not within the Princess of Power line, of course, right? Mm-hmm. We've got Teela, we've got She-Ra when she's fighting alongside He-Man, and what, Evil Lyn, and she's a bad guy? So there's not that many females. Octavia's really Princess of Power, stuff like that. So this just kind of brings into something that I could totally get behind. Maybe she fights for Skeletor. I don't know. But she's pretty awesome.
I would say a lot of these seem to have a real, like, Warhammer.
Yeah, Inspire.
Lord of the Rings, you could even throw some callbacks to.
This Brother Manimus, I think I ordered three of them. I think I at least have three coming to me, if not maybe four. I might have gone overboard. I can't remember.
You really did spend a whole lot more than you thought you
had. Well, it's a skeleton warrior that has extra weapons and heads. And if you look at that helmet there, that helmet is just great. The armor, every piece of these, you can take it apart down to little bits. You can pull the waist out. You can pull the loincloth out, the shoulder pads just come off, and you can interchange them with other figures. So you can build your own figure with this if you really wanted to. But the skeleton base is just so awesome. An armored skeleton. You can't lose with that. But and the weapons are just really cool, too. If you scroll right back up before that goblin, the goblins are cool. It's called the Dark Forces weapon pack, and it just has a very different vibe. It doesn't look like things we have in He-Man. Right. The weapons are just, they're different. And that's the appeal. I mean, we've been getting Masters from the Four Horsemen for a long time. We used to have Gothopolis and the birds, of course. I forget what the birds' names are. But this is just something that's new and just amazing. I love these goblins. This Snag Goblin right here comes with a bunch of accessories. He reminds me of a character that I'm sure I saw in the mini comic back in the day, or a mini comic, like a German mini comic. It's very cool, basically. All I can say. And then, yeah, even the Elf Ranger.
So with these being interchangeable with Masters?
Yes. Well, I mean, mostly they're the same scale. Yeah, same scale.
Okay. But like, I would assume that the heads are using like the same joint. You could pop off the head of Man-at-Arms and put one of these.
They're not interchangeable at that aspect. At that aspect, they're still not. There have been people that have made some addition kits, because the mod community picks up on He-Man and builds lots of stuff, as do they do for Mythic Legions here. So there's a mod you can put Master's heads on these, and then there is a mod. What it really comes down to is the Mythic Legion heads are a little bit wider on their ball joint. So they can always fit on the He-Man figures, but you'd have to use like sticky tack or something to hold it down.
Gotcha.
But yeah, they come with extra heads like that last character, cheetah Panther? Character. Cheetah, Panther, Cac, whatever one of those. it's a cheetah.
Doberman. We'll just call it Doberman and be completely wrong and not even worry about trying to be
It's a Doberman. But no, look, I mean, just that paint job and that scheme. And even though we have to wait a year, the original Kickstarter had the same thing. It was a year and a half we waited for those figures, and we finally received those. There were so many people that wanted to jump on the bandwagon that some of the figures were selling for more than $100 after we maybe paid $32, $33 a figure. Yeah, it was insane. And now that there are more figures in the market, the price hasn't dropped that much. Secondary market, after a figure sells out, it's usually about $60 to $70. Big Bad Toy Store has them on. They had them on there for $65 earlier in the year, and now they're doing it at flat $50 for most of them, and it's still people are still like $50 easy for these. So, but they met all of their goals. Because they got all the way to $933,000. So congratulations, Four Horsemen.
So you didn't pledge the $10,000 to get a figure based on your likeness.
No, I don't have Brian Ozone money.
It says one backer, one person actually did that.
Not me.
Get their own.
I may have pledged very close to that one. I mean, as far as something you might be looking at right now, but I can't talk about that. My girlfriend might be listening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I pledged an obscene amount for this, but it's very easy to get lost in the mythos. They also have a graphic novel that's coming out later this year that they had done pre-orders for previously, and it tells an interconnected story between all the characters. Some of the skeleton warriors are actually assassins, which I thought was really cool.
So is that graphic novel something that's going to be published independently, or is it coming to backers only?
It's published independently. They're going to have it on their website. It's actually drawn in part by Alex Gimmel, the guy who drew most of our Maddie Collector mini comics, which I'm a big fan of. I think you can actually preview it from the Four Horsemen's Facebook. If you go to their Facebook page, one of their posts from like 2 weeks ago was a downloadable PDF of like the first issue, like sneak preview look. And it's nice. It's really nice. And they have factions much like Masters does. And I ordered characters that I wanted, and then I ordered, you know, I don't know, a completionist style set. And then I know I'm going to use some of them from a Masters display. So, you know, I bought what I wanted, but it's real easy to get in. I think the lowest to get a figure is like $30.
Yeah,
so,
I'm just looking at it here. $30 is the buy-in.
Yeah, for some of the cheaper figures. And then yeah, $45 for the regular figures.
Right. So it's funny because you look at some of these and it's the Elf, 38 backers. The Steel Knight, 43 backers. And then you've got the Iron Knight, 117 backers.
Oh, yes.
The Vampire Legion, 106. So obviously people care about the Iron Knights and the Vampires more than
some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They definitely do. The Knights were a really big part in the first series. And there was a Knight character. No, there was a Vampire character in the first one that sold out, and it goes for like $100 in the secondary market. So they expanded the vampires in this wave. They did a bunch of stuff. What you can do is they have a lot of add-ons, so you could have backed for the Vampire Knight and bought every—
I lost you. Uh-oh. Andrew?
Hello again. I got booted.
There's two of you down at the bottom of the screen here.
There is.
So you could buy one of the $30 or $45 characters and then add on all the other characters if you wanted to as an add-on. Correct. Instead of— Correct. Buying it as the—
Yeah.
full kit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you don't have to end with just one of them. You can add all of them. I know some of my Masters friends were talking all about how they needed to have this character and this character. And, oh, my God, how do I work Kickstarter? Because Kickstarter's new to me. Because we've never had to do Kickstarter for Masters. But, you know, on that same aspect, I heard, at least, you know, we talked about last week about Toy Fair. It's been a rumor that's been going around for a long time that Brian Flynn himself started, is that they may do a Kickstarter for Snake Mountain. If they, you know, if it comes to be that Snake Mountain is going to come out, they said that they might use Kickstarter to make sure that they can raise the money for it, that enough people will be able to buy it and get to see it. Because on Kickstarter, I think it has a slightly larger audience than, say, even just Super 7. Super 7's awesome, but, you know, Kickstarter would have an audience of people maybe even just wanting to buy because it's a castle for medieval figures, even. Who knows?
Right. All right, well, let's transition then.
Yes. So I myself am a child of the 80s, and now I take it you obviously have your fair share of stuff that you're interested from the 80s, correct?
Yeah, I was born in 76.
Okay, and I was born in 83, so not a huge gap there, but you probably, of course, watched a lot of cartoons in the 80s, I'm guessing, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
as did I, and there were plenty of, what would you call them, TV shows where the toy lines, you know, we never got very much. And then there was plenty of toy lines where we hardly got a TV show, but there was so much to the toys. And, you know, I just figured maybe we could talk about some of those. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things that comes to mind when you put it in that type of perspective,
yes,
for me is Mighty Max. Mighty Max is one of those toy lines. I absolutely love the toys.
Yes.
And I happened to stumble upon them randomly. I had no idea there was a cartoon until later because I grew up in a house that didn't have cable television. We had a three-story antenna on the side of our house, and we could pick up broadcast networks for, 100 miles.
Nice.
But no cable. So it was on USA. So I never got to see it while it was airing on television. Later, I got like some video cassettes. I was able to watch them that way. But
nice.
But that was a toy line that I never saw the cartoon originally, just because it was a cable only affair.
See, where I live, and I lived in Texas at the time, and you're talking about Mighty Max, right, with the little minifigures. Right. Mighty Max was on, I think, Fox where I was, or might have been it would have been Fox. It would have been Fox Kids, I think. Maybe ABC Kids. I'll give it that. But it was on regular network shows, and I watched the show. It had Virgil. Virgil was, I think, the bodyguard. Or was it the owl? Okay, it was Virgil the owl. Then they had the big bodyguard guy that
Norman.
Okay, right? And then Max. Yeah, and they went all different kinds of universes.
It was Bull from Night Court doing the voice of the big bodyguard guy.
Oh, really? Oh, very nice.
But I mean, going back to something like Masters was one of those shows that was on originally. For me, I remember watching it, but it would come on at like. I want to say it came on at 8 in the morning or 8:30.
Yes.
And school started at 9 o'clock. So there were quite a few times I didn't get to see the end of an episode.
Yes.
And also, being a kid, you don't understand networks and, series, being canceled and things like that, and other series taking over, whatever. So one day it switched to She-Ra.
Yes.
And I wasn't exactly sure, so this is the He-Man. So when does He-Man show up in this thing? watching it, it didn't become clear to me later that it was a completely separate show. I thought it was just like, she was taking over the show for a while or whatever. Like maybe did he get captured or something? Like, I don't know. There were always those issues because it was syndicated.
Yes.
Sometimes you got them out of order. Sometimes there was like, the Rose Bowl parade would come on or something. You didn't get your cartoons, just random stuff like that. Or you didn't get the TV that day. You didn't get down there early enough to turn it on. So instead, Mom is watching the Today Show and everybody's still watching Today and, whatever.
So you missed a bunch of them. See, as a kid, I don't know. My parents videotaped a few of them for me. They did show up when I was a kid on TV in the morning. And even after the show ended, because they only made two seasons for syndication. Like this whole show was revolutionary because it was made for syndication and not for first run. So it was a new thing at the time. And they made two seasons with tons of episodes. I mean, there was like, there's 60 episodes a season, so there's tons of episodes. But, they would play forever and ever. And where I was in St. Louis, they played them even after the show and the toy line died. And they played She-Ra on afterwards for me. Like you said, it changes everywhere you go. And sometimes some markets, some areas of the country, maybe didn't have enough He-Man fans to keep the show going even after the toy line ended. But for me, they continued it to like 88, I think, before they finally cut it. And by then, Turtles had just started creaming Masters. So, He-Man just disappears and Turtles and a couple other things take its place. The Batman movie started taking its place, obviously. That was the new toy line in 88, 89. So, we were talking about shows that didn't have much representation. So are you saying that Masters, and She-Ra just kind of like, they showed up and then they disappeared, basically? Is that what happened to you?
No, I think it was just the time it was on, because the way the school districts work here is you go to one – when I was a kid, you went to one school until the fourth grade, and then you went to another school for fifth and sixth, another school for seventh and eighth, and another school for 9, 10, 11, 12. And they were staggered. Everyone started at a different time period so the buses could run.
So they could use the same buses. We have that in my district, yeah.
So the school I was in for elementary school was the latest starting school, and then they kept getting earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier. So it was just harder and harder to try to catch up to the show. And they would replay it sometimes in the afternoon, but sometimes they would play it at like 2 in the afternoon, which, I mean, that did absolutely no good, you know, anyway. So a lot of it was just timing. And, you know, after a while, I would try to record it onto VHS, but my mom recorded her soap operas every day, and she didn't necessarily want He-Man cartoons in the middle of her Days of Our Lives in General Hospital.
Yeah.
So that didn't always work out, but eventually we had a second VCR, and that was, then I was able to start taping everything I wanted to.
Nice.
But yeah, it was just one of those things where, because of the time it was on, it was always weird. And for a while, I went to someone's house in the morning before school as like a babysitter, so my parents could go to work, and then I could watch it there. But then the school district started doing their own before and after school program, so my parents would drop me off at school, you know, at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, so then I couldn't watch any TV. So it was just a matter of that. It was the same with, you know, Transformers and G.I. Joe and everything else I was trying to watch at the time. Just everything. It came down to video cassettes. If they could release video cassettes of them, you know, then I could watch them most of the time. Otherwise, it was just the luck of the draw, whether or not I could record them or actually watch them.
We had a library in the city in St. Louis that actually had all the tapes, or at least a couple of them, and I would request them, you know, for my mother whenever we could to go get VHS tapes there, because I had one or two tapes that I was able to download, or not to, you know, tape the episodes. Mm-hmm. Much like yourself, I ran into problems seeing the episodes at the time. This was before I really started school. I was in maybe like either childcare, or I was in something else in the mornings, but like Montessori school maybe. But I got to watch a fairly good amount of them. That was my thing. Like I would love to watch the episodes, but as many episodes as there were, you know, we'd always seem like the same episode would come up every week. Like, you know, Tila's trapped in the pit again every week, you know, at 7 in the morning when you want to. So it got old sometimes, but you know, He-Man was still, that was the high point. That was the high point, was He-Man. But you know, there's some other lines that I really remember watching the show and or playing the toys and really wanted to see more of the show, like Dino Riders. Do you remember Dino Riders?
I remember them, but I don't think I ever watched the show.
It's a, for anyone who's listening, of course, it's a show about these humanoid people called the DeLoreans. And they're really called the DeLoreans, and one of them is voiced by Optimus Prime himself. They're escaping from the Rulons, which are this alien lizard race that also has shark people and other crazy insect characters. But they're running from them, and they crash land using a time portal on a prehistoric Earth where dinosaurs rule. And the villains start by mind controlling the dinosaurs to, you know, to make them into weapons against the humans, or the DeLoreans, sorry. So the humans do the exact same thing, and there's like a T-Rex versus a Brontosaurus with like laser guns and stuff. But the laser guns never seem to hit people. They just always, just like He-Man, they seem to shoot and always consistently miss.
Or G.I. Joe, same difference.
Oh, G.I. Joe, oh my God, yes. Yes, always consistently missing.
All right, wait. All right, I gotta call you out on something.
Yes.
Okay, so according to Wikipedia, which we all know is the gold standard for internet research.
Are they called Valarians?
Yeah.
Oh, Valarians. Wow, yeah. I was a kid, I guess. I haven't watched this in a while. So I remembered everything but how they're pronounced. So they're Valorians, not DeLoreans. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. That'd have been fun.
Okay. Yeah, there probably would have been too many issues if they had tried to do that.
Probably. Man, that would have been fun, though. Oh, well. Well, no. My dream is shatter hard. It's okay.
All right, so let me ask you this then. Going back, switching from the TV aspect to the toy aspect then, did you have a lot of problems finding the figures that you wanted in the toy stores? Or was it generally you would just go to the store and be happy to find a He-Man figure that you didn't have and that's the one you would grab?
So my parents were smart. I'm going to tell you right now, my parents were smart. I didn't get to go to the toy section of the store. My parents were very smart. We were also poor, so or you know we weren't well off. I don't know. I don't want to insult anyone who might have actually really been poor. So I didn't get figures very often. I didn't get toys except for birthdays, and usually come from my grandmother. And so she would buy whatever she thought I didn't have, and or whatever was on clearance. So I had very few brand new He-Man figures. I would probably say from the time that I started getting He-Man to the end of the He-Man line, I probably got maybe 12 figures or less brand new, and the rest of them I would go garage sailing with my mom and pick up.
I see.
So I didn't get a lot of brand new figures. I think my pride and joy was I got a Skeletor brand new because I was able to spell and write my name for the first time. That was a prize that my dad had been holding on to. But my grandparents would, my grandmother would buy stuff on clearance. I was in my 20s when she was cleaning out her basement and she found an unopened original 82 or 83 Battle Ram still in the box. Box is amazing. And she goes, "Hey, did you want this, Andrew?" And I was like, "Yes, please." And that was a number of years ago. But yeah, I didn't get many figures. I actually honestly got things that weren't He-Man all the time. I would get Captain Power because they were on clearance. I would
Right.
get Sky Riders. I would get or Air Raiders. They're called Air Raiders. I got a Silver Hawk or two, a Thundercat or here or there. You know, it was whatever the holiday was, and it was whatever she could find on clearance. I'd get Hot Wheels, even though I didn't like cars. I'd get Hot Wheels maybe once in a while. But it'd just be whatever she could find on clearance. But when I got those first He-Man figures, it started an obsession that nothing else could really satisfy but He-Man.
See, I had the big Christmas morning reveal of
Nice.
Castle Grayskull and He-Man and Skeletor and Man-at-Arms and Manny Faces and Triclops, and just a whole bunch from the initial figures that came out. And then I think my birthday that year is when I got the Rotom and I'm trying to think what else. I know the next Christmas I got like Battle Armor Skeletor, Battle Armor He-Man, Buzz Off.
Nice.
The year we went to Walt Disney World, we went to Walt Disney World over Christmas. And so Christmas morning, we're in the pop-up camper in the campground in Orlando. And I got, I think it was Thunder Punch He-Man and Modulok and Multibot.
Nice. Those are some good figures.
Yeah, so I had a pretty
Multibot
good.
and Modulok are so interchangeable. I mean, there's
Yeah, I love those. Those are two of my favorite. I had a huge assortment that I always got as gifts, but we had a toy store. It was called Toys Plus, and it was just one of the like local random, stores. I don't think they were a big chain. If they were any type of chain, maybe there were like five of them or something, in central Illinois or something. But it was like a mile from our house, and it was right next to the middle school in the shopping center. So if ever there was like my sister had a softball game or something like that, it was in the field behind the middle school. So I could just walk across over to the shopping center and, go to the toy store instead of sitting there and watch her boring ass sports games. And
True.
so I used to go over there, but the problem was they always seemed to have like the same stuff. And
Yeah.
it was like you go in time and time again, and it's like, okay, well, there's Battle Armor He-Man and Battle Armor Skeletor and a Beast Man and a Merman and a Buzz Off, and like that was it, And they had like three pegs of each, So you knew that they were never going to change and get updated until they would go on clearance, and then they'd clearance them out and then just put something else, Chuck Norris Karate Commandos or something in place.
Well, you know, that probably was a thing. And that probably happened a lot of places. We as toy fans nowadays, I go to Walmart all the time. I go to Target all the time. I don't have any kids, so I've got no excuses for myself. But I go all the time, and I look at the toys. And a lot of times I go to the same store, you know, 2 months later, I'm still looking at the same crap that's sitting on the shelf.
Right.
And they haven't moved. They haven't moved the same Turtles figures that they had last month. They haven't moved some of the same Transformers. Right now, Star Wars Black Series, I see so much of the wave for the Rogue One wave just sitting on the shelf. And it was a great movie. The figures are awesome,
right,
but they're just sitting there. And so I know what you're talking about. And I remember some of it in the 90s when I'd look for certain Ninja Turtle characters, but I mean, my parents didn't let me go, so I didn't have that much of an issue in the 80s for that.
No, we did have a KB Toy Store and a Circus World Toy Store.
Oh, nice.
In our shopping mall. But of course, the mall was on the edge of town where everything was being developed, so we didn't go out there very often. And then also when you went out there, everything was more expensive because it was in the mall.
Correct.
Which is the way, you know, things always happen to go. But I mean, we had no Toys R Us. We had no Walmart. We didn't have any of those type stores until, you know, much later on. So, you know, finding toys back then was almost like buying comic books where, you know, you'd have issue 12 and issue 15 and 16 and 19.
And
you'd never find the ones in between because, you know, they got four copies on the newsstand. If you didn't get there in time, you missed out.
Correct.
And it was the same way with the toys most of the time.
Yeah. Though that definitely happened. You know, you were talking earlier about going to the mall, though, or going to the toy store while your sister was playing soccer. Did your parents allowed this, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, yeah.
Were you old enough?
Our town now is 100,000 people. 100,000. I don't know, 100,000, 150 or something like that.
Okay.
Something ridiculous. So it's not a huge, you know, booming metropolitan area.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, back then it was no big deal. Even if I wanted to leave the house and walk a mile down to the strip mall, I could have.
Okay.
Because it was all neighborhood, you know, until you got right to where the strip mall was.
Okay.
And it was, you know, not considered any big deal back in those days to make those walks. And let's see, in 84, I would have been 8. I started the third grade,
yeah.
You know, probably riding my dirt bike, you know, down there. So,
okay.
You know, wasn't any big deal. There was no major traffic or anything you had to cross. So, not that big of a deal. Now, nowadays, it's like my kids want to go to their friend's house down at the corner, and I'm staying on the porch watching them all the way down, you know, because you never know.
Well, you know, they had that problem. I'm trying to think who was the little kid that went missing in, what was it like?
Adam.
New York.
Adam Walsh.
Oh, Adam Walsh went missing, of course. And besides Brian Ozone here, who went missing today, we had, who was it? It was like Elias something. There was a kid that went missing in the 80s, like their early 80s. And it was something that, like, as a kid, my parents were fearful. So, I mean, you were in a small town. I guess I was in a near metropolitan area where my parents, you know, wouldn't let us play in the playground unless they were on the playground with us. So
right. That's how it is now here. You know, we've gotten to that point.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And it's so weird now because nowadays you can give kids a cell phone with GPS and instant messaging and everything like that, but you're still like,
still,
you know, if I can't see you, you're too far away, you know, and, you know, and my son's, you know, 12, you know,
okay.
You know, nice. And I'm still like, hold my hand. He's like, no way. But yeah, I mean, going to toy stores, you know, back in the, I would get my allowance and I would try to have it gone by that night.
You know? So what do you think about looking at the back of the figures and looking for the figures that were back there? Like on the back, you know, back of figure cards. Now we have the internet. Now we, you know, get all our information from websites. And it used to be in the 90s, we got our information from magazines like, well, in the early 2000s too, like Toy Fair and Wizard right. Magazine and
Tomart.
Yes, yeah. Tomart. But
Tomart.
Is it Tomart?
No, oh, I don't God. Know. I've just always pronounced it Tomart. I don't have no idea.
That makes sense. Well, yeah, Tomart. Well, back in the 80s, though, we had to rely on the backs of the figure cards and cartoons. So, right. You know, you'd look for the next wave of Turtles or He-Man or even Voltron, and they'd release the figures on the back of the backer card. They'd advertise other figures coming out, and that way it would keep the collective urge of us kids, you know, going. We'd be like, oh man, we got to get all of these figures here. And then that's when they started releasing, like on the old Star Wars cards, they'd have like the 96 cards, you know, 96 figures on a card, and you're like, dang, I got to go buy 96 figures.
See, I don't know. Maybe it was just different for me, but I would get it and I'd look on the back and just be like, oh, that guy's cool. That guy's cool.
And circle.
Rip the figure out and throw it away. And so I never would look at it again. So, I mean, the one genius thing about Masters was they had the mini comics. So the mini comics would have the other figures on the back sometimes.
Correct.
Or, you know, in the story, you would see something like Fisto, Clamp Champ. I never had guys like that. Never had Mitsune. I never had Leech. I never had Grizzlor. Oh. Those were just ones that, you know, I never found, you know, back in the day. But, you know, you would just kind of look at the card and be like, oh, that guy looks cool, and then throw it away and never think about it again until this kid, Nicky Capodice was his name. He moved in right next door, and he had all the Snake Men. And I had not seen any of the Snake Men, you know, in person. I never owned any. I never, you know, whatever. And so suddenly he had all the Snake Men, and he had like Hordak. I never had Hordak.
Hordak's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Equally. So all of that type of stuff. I don't know if maybe I was just either, you know, we couldn't find them around here, or maybe I just moved on to, you know, other stuff. I don't remember, but he had all of those. So I remember it was kind of one of those things where, you know, well, between the ones you have and the ones I have, we have almost all of them, you know. Nice. And so our backyards, there was just a little, you know, like 3-foot fence in between our 2 yards. So we'd always just kind of hop over and sit in the backyard of whoever's house and just dump them all out in the grass. And of course, you'd lose the swords and you'd lose the armor, and you'd have Man at Arms. Like, why does Man of Arms have a green painted chest? I don't understand this, you know. Like, apparently he's wearing the tightest t-shirt, you know, known to man, but
he was to show off those popping muscles.
I guess. I mean, that's an aspect of the character that they've never really gone into, was Man at Arms and his tight green t-shirts. He wanted to show off his pointy nipples. I don't know what the deal was with that. But,
Your friend sounds familiar. Not like, you know, like I knew him or anything, but when I was a kid, my dad used to play soccer, and I made a friend of one of his teammates' kids, and I, you know, this is the dream. So this got to be like 90, no, and it's got to be 86 or 87. I go over to his house. We're already collecting Ninja Turtles. So He-Man and Ninja Turtles are existing at the same time now. Turtles have come. Maybe it's 88, but He-Man and Turtles. I'm collecting both right now. I'm watching both or playing with both. I go to his basement, and in his basement is the fully set up, and it's being played with, Eternia. It was the first time and only time I got to see it in my childhood in person, and it was the coolest thing. It was like, can I please stay over at his house overnight? You know, I mean, he had multiple Horde Troopers. This kid had all the figures. Like, I can't remember any figures he didn't have. And I know he had some of the Imperial, like, bootleg stuff and the Warlord stuff. And he had all the Turtles, too. Like, I was just always jealous to, like, not stay at his house and play toys all day.
Right.
Because he had them all. His name was Zach. If you're listening, Zach, oh, my God, you had all the toys. But, you know, on another note, I have a friend local here who collected He-Man here in the Dallas area. And when he wanted to know what new figures were coming out, he actually he wrote letters to Mattel, and Mattel would write him letters back, actually. Like, tell him what new figures were coming out. And they sent him a Squeeze action figure, brand new, for him asking one time. So he got Squeeze from Mattel for just asking what toys, when the next toys were going to hit the shelf, basically.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that you don't see anymore. I remember when I was in probably like sixth grade, I wrote a letter to WWF.
Ooh, nice.
And I got a Bam Bam Bigelow t-shirt and a calendar in the mail.
Nice.
In return. You know, and companies don't do that type of stuff anymore, because now as soon as they would do that, it would hit the internet and they'd get 9,000 letters asking for free stuff, you know?
Correct. Correct.
But that was the cool thing, you know, back then, is that you'd write a letter to somebody, or even to get them printed in a comic book and to show all your friends, like, hey, look, there's my letter, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a lost art, man. Comics don't even have that anymore. Now we have...
There are a few. There are a handful. I know, like, in fact, I was just reading The Unworthy Thor.
Okay.
Going back to... sword and sorcery type stuff.
Yeah.
The new Unworthy Thor miniseries actually has a letters column.
Really? That's awesome. Yeah. That's a good throwback, because I mean, that's missed. I mean, not a lot of times do, I mean, that's showing the company, not only did they read your letter and they opened it and that they are paying attention to what you have to say, but they're responding back where you can actually see it. I mean, we can get that on the internet. We can get that through emails, but for them to print it, that's awesome.
Right. And especially back in the day, you'd get it signed. And of course, 9 times out of 10, it probably, you know, signed by the secretary or, you know, something like that. But still, it's like, oh, this letter signed by Vincent K. McMahon Jr. You know, it's like, wow.
That's the way to go.
But, you know, I mean, a lot of that stuff you just can't do anymore, because it becomes a logistical nightmare. I mean, sometimes they will do it for good PR.
Yeah.
You'll have like the one kid in, you know, Schenectady, New York, who's very ill, and the only thing they want to do is meet John Cena, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And they'll do something like that. But 9 times out of 10, you write to a company and you don't hear anything, or you might get a form letter, or you get an email back from someone who obviously lives in another country and English is not their first language, you know. That type of stuff is long gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the companies don't have dedicated staff, though, to handle stuff like that either, though, you know, because everyone's got a different job, and making the toys is definitely different. I mean, heck, the toys that are made now, you'd say the quality's definitely gone up, though, right? You'd say that our quality toys are definitely better than they were in the 80s.
I can say that the quality can go up. But there are certainly instances where companies are cutting every possible corner and putting out the cheapest quality toys they can. I mean, that happens quite a bit as well.
That does. They'll use the same body again, or they'll just not apply paint apps. Like paint apps are too expensive to add a second color to this base color here. That's why we got a man at arms with a green tight shirt. It's just because they didn't want to add extra colors or extra paint to them.
Well, and you know, like another thing nowadays is you just have to look at cost. Cost of things have gotten so much more expensive, and we think. Yes. You know, buy a toy should be about $5 to $10, and you look at a lot of toys and they're 15 and 20. It just seems so expensive, but you got to think, you know, $5 in, you know, 1984 to buy an action figure, that was back when a gallon of gas was like, what, 75 cents?
Correct.
Something like that, you know, so
milk was under a dollar.
Right. So it's like certain things that in your mind are worth, like, oh, that's just the rate of inflation. That makes sense. You got to pay a little bit more. And other things you're like, they should never be more than $5.
So, that's very true.
So I do, I do struggle with that myself a lot of times, because, you know, I have two kids and they want things, you know, and I want to buy them for them. But at the same time, I'm a big kid and I want to buy things, you know, so you always have to measure a little bit of that back and forth.
Oh yes. And you know, we're big kids, of course, and you know, we want to play with our stuff. You know, we're big kids. How do you find time to, you know, how do you find money to spend stuff on your you know, buy your own toys? Because I'm sure you have more than just toys that they want. I'm sure there's electronics, I'm sure there's, you know, things that they want to do. So How do you figure out your budget for toys?
I mean, that's just it. There are just some things that are worth spending money on and some things that aren't.
True.
You know, there's quite a few, you know, I would love if we had 8 laser tag sets with enough batteries that every kid in the neighborhood was running around here with laser tag rifles. And
yeah, from the 80s too.
Yeah, even those, right. You know, but it's just, the logistics of the cost of that and everything. It's because that's another thing, is when you look at stuff, it's like, oh, That'd be really fun to have. That takes 4D batteries. Put it back because we're never buying those batteries. Like, it's, you know, can you play with it without the batteries? All right, fine. Then you can play with it until the ones that are in there from the package run out. And then once they're dead, and it's never going to make sound again. You know, I mean, those are just the things that you deal with looking at a lot of that stuff. Although I've gotten to the point, I've been doing toy stuff, you know, online for a while. Okay. I think 2008 is when we officially launched popculturenetwork.com, maybe.
Nice.
Before that, we had thatnewtoysmell.com and thevideogamelosers.com.
Okay.
And so between those, we were, you know, doing stuff online. You buy stuff, play with it, do write-ups, do videos, do podcasts, whatever. Once we started doing the actual website, then we got samples from places. And, you know, we could go to conventions and hand out business cards. And like in 2008, you had your own website, you had your own business card. You were more than just a blogger, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would give you samples of stuff and whatever. And I'm at the point now where I don't really do that much anymore. A lot of the stuff I have sitting around, I've started to sell on eBay just because it takes up space. And some of the stuff has gotten collectibles, so it's worth money, and I'd rather have the money than the collectible.
Makes sense.
For instance, something that happened recently, a couple weeks ago, and taking this back to Masters.
Yes.
I had the pop vinyl. Well, first of all, they did the pop vinyl for Skeletor.
Yes.
And I bought one of those because for whatever reason, I am locked on Disco Skeletor. Disco Skeletor is my character.
Yes.
Some people call him Rave Skeletor. I'm not. I'm Disco. I guess that's just because I'm old.
Disco works. Disco is the only way I know it. I've never heard of Rave Skeletor, but Disco Skeletor from the 2000X was such a weird, weird variant for them to release. But ever since it is, it's so iconic.
Yeah, and ever since I saw it, I was like, I bought it, I opened it, I saw another one, I bought it over the years. You know, you go to toy swap meets, whatever, I see one, I buy it, you know, just whatever. And I started doing this thing where if I was somewhere and I saw a vintage Skeletor, I'd buy it and I'd have somebody paint it in Disco colors.
Nice.
I have a Fakor. I had someone paint it Disco Fakor.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of like, I call it Disco He-Man, basically, to go, you know, with a Disco Skeletor. And I saw the pop, and I said, okay, I'm going to buy this, and I'll pay somebody to paint it the Disco color, so I'll have a Disco Pop Skeletor, because I don't really care about pops, but it'd be neat to have that collectible as a Disco. And so I bought it. I never got around to giving it to anybody to paint it. And then at San Diego Comic-Con,
they unveiled one.
They unveiled one, and I got one of those for free.
Oh, nice.
So suddenly I had the Disco one. So I put it on the shelf and I had this other one. I was like, well, I don't need to paint this one now, you know? So I just set it like behind it on the shelf.
Yeah.
And they were just sitting up there with some of my other collectibles up on the shelf. And someone said something like, oh man, that's worth a lot of money. And I was like, well, you know, I mean, what's it worth? Like $50, maybe, you know, I'll hold on to it. I go online, I look it up. It's like $225, $250 people are paying for that Disco.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'd much rather have $225 than have the collectible. You know, yeah. I mean, like, I like it. It's cool. But at that kind of money, you know, I'll buy 10 more of the regular Discos from 2000X. So
correct.
I actually put them both online in an auction, and I put opening bid at $225, buy it now for $300.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody did the buy it now for $300. People started bidding on it, and of course they bid it up to $330.
Nice.
So they ended up paying more than if they had just, you know, bought it
now.
But so I used that money and I went to Memphis and took a little holiday with a friend of mine. And so that nice. Paid for my collectible Elvis glasses with the built-in sideburns, and it paid for the barbecue I ate for every meal for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Memphis, paid for my trip to Beale Street and the $8.50 rum and Cokes and Jack and Cokes from the blues clubs. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it comes to the point where I've got a lot of this stuff sitting around, and a lot of it's cool, but it's like, out of all the stuff that's sitting here, there's a handful of stuff that I have like an actual memory.
Yeah.
Into. So like, I've got a Castle Grayskull sitting on my shelf. I've got a Slime Pit sitting here. Those are never going to go anywhere. You know, a lot of those original 5.5 figures are not going to go anywhere, but some of the classics figures, you know, I bought them when they were Big Lots on clearance. And I played around with some of them, and some of them, you know, I customized them and did horrible tragic torture to a couple of them, and you know, just goofing around, messing off. But
yeah, oh, I've done that too.
but some of them, it's just like, you know, if someone would give me $10 for it, I'd rather take the $10 than just have it sitting here collecting dust, you know.
Yeah,
and that's what it comes with a lot of the stuff that I've collected over the years. Now there are some things like Realms of the Underworld. Yes. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they did a 5.5 line a few years ago.
It's by Michael Zhu. What is it? Zulu World.
Zola.
I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, he does ZoloWorld.com. I can tell you that.
Yes. We'll plug it. ZoloWorld.com is awesome.
But like those, I really love those figures, and those look like the classic, you know, Masters figures. They fit with those. So I've got, you know, some of those, and those are probably ones that I'll keep on my shelf till I die. But you know, a lot of the other stuff that's sitting around, it's just, you know, it's collecting dust, and someday I might, you know, just put them all in a box and find some other kid that wants to play with them. I've tried to give some of these to my kids, and like Transformers, my son's like, oh, cool, Transformers. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, I can't figure out how to make it into the car, and I broke his arm off, and, you know, it's just not their thing. So,
yes.
So a lot of them are just sitting there waiting, you know, for that Toy Story 3 home, if I can find that other kid that wants to play with them, you know?
Yeah, no, it's scary, though. The new generation just does not seem to like toys that much. And that might be part of the reason why I keep on seeing the same toys at Toys R Us or at Walmart. It's because the people who want the toys are us adults still, who are still clinging to that childhood or still like toys.
Well, and part of it was you would get the toys and you could play with them and act out, you know, pretending that you're the character. And now they've got video games that do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff they watch, you know, that the cartoons that my kids watch now are stuff like Clarence and Gumball and, you know, stuff that is more, it's more of a, I guess you'd call it an animated sitcom for kids, you know, than the shows that we used to watch. So having action figures based off them doesn't really tie in all that well. And they can go online to CartoonNetwork.com, or they can download an app on their tablet, and they can play the games that tie into them.
Yes, they can.
And they get to be the character. So, you know, me as a kid, having a Prince Adam and a He-Man, and like hiding the He-Man until Prince Adam would say the words, and then you'd hide the Prince Adam and pull out the He-Man, you know?
Nice.
That type of stuff that you would do as a kid, they wouldn't do that type of thing now today. Because you buy the figure, you put it on your shelf, and then you play the video game, and that's how you interact with that world.
Yes. Well, in a lot of those worlds, a lot of those shows anyways, they're not advertisements for toys. A lot of our shows in the 80s were kind of like advertisements for toys, realistically.
Right, yeah. Which I'm fine with. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, the Turtles was good. The Turtles was a comic book series, of course, but the Ninja Turtles was going to be a toy line, and they didn't want to. Playmates didn't want to release a toy line until there was going to be an animated series to help sell the product, because that's what it would be there for. The show was to sell the product so they could sell toys and make money off of it, and that's what He-Man was. You know, Mattel has an awesome toy line, but let's get Lou to help with Filmation to make a show so we can sell more toys. So I mean, that's what it is like nowadays. You know, they'll make a show without any ulterior motive of selling kids toys or anything. God, what's it like when they're not trying to sell kids things anymore? What's up with that?
And I always hear, like, you know, people complain that some movie will come out and they'll be like, oh, that movie, all it is one big toy commercial. And I'm like, good. I'm happy, because I'm tired of going to see this movie and all it is like, well, have we learned our lesson that you have to be a friend to the weird kid at school? I was like, I was the weird kid at school. I didn't want friends. Leave me alone. I want to play with my toys, you know?
That's good.
I just hear, you know, everything today has to teach kids something.
Yeah.
You know, or it falls into some other category. TV networks, if they show cartoons, there has to be so many hours of educational programming mixed in with them. And it's like, look, like, I grew up with Square One television. Some of that stuff can be interesting, but I don't want to watch 4 hours of the Wild Kratts and learn about Bengal tigers every week. Like, show me stuff blowing up, you know, show me Unicron eating a planet full of robots being in pain. You know what I mean? Like, that's, that is cool, fun stuff for kids.
Yes, it was. And it, hopefully, if we do watch it, it has a good 80s power ballad as well to go along with it, right?
Me standing in the backyard with my headphones on, you know, making absolutely no sounds out of my mouth, but mouthing every word, doing the hand symbols.
Oh, yes.
Screaming to the sky.
The 80s.
You got the power.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, and the funny thing was, I can still remember, like, you know, that movie came out, and I was, I think I was in middle school when that came out, and I can remember being in college and going to, like, a Sam Goody music store and finding a cassette tape of the Transformers the Movie soundtrack.
Yes.
And just being, like, blown away, like, oh my, like, I'm totally buying this. What is it, 1088? I don't care. I'm buying this.
Oh my God, you know what? Did you know that cassette tapes are now being, like music cassette tapes are now being sold at Urban Outfitters for, like, $16? You can buy Nirvana's Nevermind.
You know, that would have been helpful to me a vehicle ago, but we finally got rid of our last cassette player vehicle.
Yes.
So all of our players now are CD, and unfortunately they don't make CDs with the little cord on them, so you can slide them in the slot and then hook them up to your, you know, Walkman MP3 and play
player.
Right. So.
Oh well. You know, La La Land Records that made the master soundtracks. They made a limited edition movie soundtrack for you know, the Transformer movie. They did a lot of good ones, and I've picked up a couple for both, you know, animated Filmation He-Man. I've picked up the movie limited edition one. I've picked up a couple. They're fun, and, you know, gotta love that Transformers movie soundtrack. That's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, actually, La La Land releases a lot of stuff. I actually bought through them soundtrack to the TV show Millennium.
Nice.
Yeah, the one that was from Chris Carter, who did the X-Files, but it was like 10 times scarier, so nobody watched it.
Lance Hendrickson, I think his
Hendrickson,
name?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, was in it. That was a great show. No, I remember. I used to watch it on Fridays. Those were my unhappy teenage Fridays. I didn't go anywhere. I'd stay at home watching, you know, like X-Files and Millennium, because that was the thing to do.
Right. Actually, I was in college when those came on. And but the funny thing was, nothing at college would start until like 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So you would sit and you'd watch the two shows, and then it's like, okay, now it's time to go out. The night has just started. You know?
Yes.
So.
But when that could creep you out, because it is Millennium and X-Files. So you're like, ooh, is that bush over there shaking? Oh, crap, let's go inside.
No, it was generally more like, is that bush? Hand me the drink. That's generally how it ended up. But anyway, all right. Well, listen, we've gone about an hour here. I think we need to wrap it up.
Awesome.
Brian, wherever you are, I hope you're alive and healthy.
Yes.
My guess is nine times out of 10, when something like this happens, it's because he went to work at 4:30 in the morning and he came home, ate dinner, and passed out.
Yep.
And there are some times on this show, I mean, let's face it, we'll be in the middle of the show and you can hear a yawn from him, or he starts talking, and yeah, man, that's so
yeah, man.
So I'm hoping he's asleep. I'm assuming he's asleep. But anyway, Andrew, I want to thank you for being here.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun talking to you, man.
Do you have any shout outs or any plugs out you want to throw out before we
end? I'm going to plug it. I don't care. So we talked in the past in the Dallas area, there was that DFW Vintage Toys store that has stuff. I have not plugged the Lost Toys yet, but the Lost Toys was plugged in the last He-Man.org roast, actually dinner last week. It's a local vintage shop in the Dallas area here that has a lot of fun stuff there too, and they throw shows all the time. So thank you if you're listening, Lost Toys. So that's it. But no, I'm good.
Okay. All right, guys, don't forget to check out popculturenetwork.com. If you want to just check out the toy coverage, you can always go to thatnewtoysmell.com, which is part of the Pop Culture Network. And don't forget to call our 24-hour voicemail line. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave us a recorded message. The phone number is area code 217-953-4025. Or you can find us on Twitter at popculturenet. Or you can find us on Facebook. Look for the official Pop Culture Network group if you want to join in on the conversation. We're also on Google Plus. We're on Tumblr. We apparently have a Tumblr page out there. I don't think we have a MySpace anymore. Maybe we should. I don't know. But anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much.